This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening alongside Matt Humans. I am Tim Murray. Matt, we got ourselves game three of the Stanley Cup final tonight, a winner take all game for the final spot in Omaha as Duke takes on a team near and dear to my heart, Murray State, yeah. The Racers against the Blue Devils. Got a handful of baseball games to keep our eyes on and, of course, get you ready for game three of the NBA Finals, which will tip off on Wednesday evening. Mr. Humans, how are you, sir?
All right, so I know it's not Duke basketball, it's not Coach K, but is anyone out there rooting for Duke in this game? You have to be all in on Tim Murray State.
Come
in
on,
this
baby.
Game. You wanted to see Tim Murray State headed to the College World Series. Big game tonight in hockey, obviously, game three, and the favorite being bet up tonight to 140. Florida Panthers right here at the Circus Sportsbook, 140 favorites. We'll talk more about that game. And good weekend. Had a chance to play in the Greg Maddux Baller's Dream Poker Tournament over the weekend. Derek Stevens invited us to play. Tim Murray, you could not show. Mitch, Paul were there with me last night. We made a pretty good showing for the VSiN team in the poker tournament.
Down.
I think all three of us finished in the top 30 of about 90 players last night. But I know you couldn't make it. It was a really cool event up at Legacy Club, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later. But the poker tournament was a big success. We were here Saturday night to watch the UFC fight card. And so a big weekend at Circa. And we're back here on Monday. Looking forward to tonight's hockey game and then game three in the NBA Finals on Wednesday night.
And it's U.S. Open week, Matt.
U.S. Open is going to be a major topic of discussion on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight and tomorrow night. We got tomorrow night's show loaded with golf guests. So you get everything you need to know about betting the U.S. Open, the year's third golf major this week at Oakmont.
Yeah, and Jeff Sherman just a little while ago, who will be on the program tomorrow, tweeted out some of the odds that they have over at the Westgate Superbook, Matt, including the winning score over under 278.5. I was texting with friend of the network, friend of the show, Steve Sands, who will be there on site. He'll join us tomorrow night. And he said he wouldn't be surprised, Matt, if the winning score, I don't know if he was being hyperbolic, but he said he wouldn't be surprised if the winning score this week was 5 over par.
Oh, no, come on. I would be really surprised if that's the case.
He did say it is an incredibly difficult course. And obviously, as you mentioned, Matt, we will have plenty of previews out there. Yes, maybe being a bit hyperbolic. We'll talk to Steve tomorrow, though. We'll get his thoughts on who he thinks ultimately can take care of business. But, yeah, some interesting props that I saw pop up over at the Westgate. I'm sure DraftKings Circle will have plenty as well. But the over-under on the 72 winning score, 278.5. Will Scottie Scheffler win? Yes, no, out there at plus 275. Yes, minus 350. No. How about this, Matt? Scotty, Rory, or Bryson versus the field? Mm-hmm. Plus 150. Yes, minus 180 on the no.
I actually played that prop in the PGA, and Scotty came through. It was kind of like a hedge because I had bet. You know what? I don't want any piece of Rory in this major, though.
Happened to him over the weekend?
I feel like he's checked out because that career Grand Slam was a goal of his for almost 10 years, right? He went a decade without winning a major. You win it, you get all that pressure off your back, and it's kind of like you reached the pinnacle, right? That was his career achievement. The crowning achievement was to win the career Grand Slam. He gets it. He wins the Masters. I don't think he even said, you know, it's kind of hard to go out and hit the range and, hit balls for 3 hours like he did before. He's not grinding like he did before because now he's accomplished that goal. I say stay away from Rory. So I would not play that prop. And Rory, by the way, missed the cut by 12 strokes last week. I don't even think he wanted to be there in Canada. And I'm not sure how focused he is on this major. I feel like that there's no question Scottie Scheffler deserves to be a favorite of around 3-1 or less. And Bryson DeChambeau should be your number two power-rated golfer on the U.S. Open board this week.
Rory McIlroy, if you're wondering, if you're looking to a full-on fade him, Rory to miss the cut this week is at 3-1 right now at DraftKings. And look around. Maybe you could find even a juicier price on McIlroy to miss the cut at the U.S. Open. So we'll get a lot of U.S. Open thoughts for you moving forward all throughout the week before that thing gets going on Thursday. As mentioned, we got a game to get to here in just a moment. Duke and Murray State. Duke going off as a sizable favorite. No surprise there after yesterday losing 19-9, Matt. And that's why we have a total of this Duke-Murray State game at, I believe, 17 heading into this evening at some shop. 16.5 juiced over here. Duke minus 215 favorite at Circa. That would be the cheapest price, Matt. But we got a whole lot to get to, including the Oilers and the Panthers. Game three. How fun were those two games north of the border? And we got another one tonight down in Sunrise, Florida. So let's get you a preview of game three of the Stanley Cup Final.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Well, Matt, I know someone who will break this game down in depth with plenty of plays.
Yeah.
The Canadian kid, right?
If you want action, Ian Cameron's got action. I looked at his email. I believe he's got more than 15 plays on tonight's hockey game. He's going to be on with us here in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, so Ian Cameron, he will give you the lowdown on game three of the Stanley Cup Final, but it should be a great one. The first two, Matt, were tremendous, both going to overtime. How about the game on Friday night? Double overtime, Brad Marchand, breakaway game winner to give the Panthers the win 5-4 and to flip them back to a ever so slight series favorite right now here at Circa, Matt. They're minus 117 to hoist Lord's Stanley Cup. Here tonight, Matt, 6.5 juiced under is the total. Both games have gone over so far. 4-3 in game one, 5-4 in game two. Game one, worth noting, went off at six. Now we are, 6.5 juiced under. Both games have gone over. And both games have gone over in the first period, Matt. If you're looking to bet under in the first period, you can get a pretty nice plus money price right now. 1.5 juiced over at $1.42 here at Circa.
What makes things even more difficult for the Oilers tonight is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins might not play in this game. So you're talking about a banged-up Oilers team. And that makes things even more difficult against the Florida Panthers because Oilers are not a great defensive team. And obviously, that was the weakness they were going to have to overcome in this series. You need to be so good offensively against a great goalie and Bobrovsky to make up for the defensive lapses you have on the Edmonton end. And I'm not all that optimistic about the Oilers' chances tonight. I don't know if Nugent Hopkins is going to play or not. It looks like even if he does, he's, we'll say, hobbled. Is that a Murray State home run?
The Racers leading off the game with a homer, wow. Matt.
Okay. That's what the Oilers need to do tonight, Tim, is strike early and strike
Surname
often.
Surname State, baby. Come
against,
on.
Against Sergei Bobrovsky. And this, you could call this a swing game in the series if you want to. I wouldn't do that because I still feel like this is going to be a long seven-game series. I was speaking with Darren Banks, former NHL player who's here at Circa last night. I said, what do you think the chances are the series goes seven? He goes, oh, I absolutely think this series is going seven. So tonight, though, the Florida Panthers bet up to minus 140, and I think some of that has to do with the Oilers being banged up.
Taking a look at our betting splits over at VSiN.com, which you can get your hands on for as little as $9.99 for your first month as a VSiN Pro subscriber. 59% of bets, 62% of the handle at DraftKings on the Florida Panthers at minus 142. 54% of the bets, but only 45% of the handle on the over. So do we see things at some point in this series tighten up, Matt? As for the circus spread splits, I should say, 54% of bets, but 65% of the money is on the Florida Panthers. And as for the total, 40% of the bets, 77% of the handle on the over. Over 2-0 so far in this series. 1-1 is where we sit with this one. It has been a just tremendous series to watch. You see a goal with, 18 seconds to go in regulation to force overtime at Edmonton. Ultimately, the Panthers, as we all know, win that game in the second overtime period. And then you think back to game one, Matt, 3-1 was the score. The Florida Panthers had that 3-1 advantage, and they squandered that lead. And ultimately, the Oilers were able to win that one in overtime as well.
Oilers have been pretty effective offensively in the first couple of games of the series, but I don't know if that's going to carry over tonight. It's interesting when you look at Sergei Bobrovsky, the Panthers goalie, in 14 Stanley Cup final games. He has an 884 save percentage, 3.38 goals against average. That's not great. But Tim, at home, 1.84 goals against average, 929 save percentage. He's been a much better goalie at home. And also, the Panthers have won three. Last year, they won three of four home games against the Oilers in this series. That's why I think the Oilers really backed up against the wall tonight. We don't know if Ryan Nugent Hopkins is going to play. He's going to be a game-time decision. That's why you're seeing money on the Panthers.
Quick update from college baseball. Seven spots have been locked up for Omaha. Only one remains. Can it be the Cinderella, Murray State, the four seed? Or will it be the Duke Blue Devils getting to Omaha for the first time since 1961?
Wow. Racers off to a fast start here. We have the leadoff homer and then I believe a double, right?
And right now in the top of the first inning, Murray State leading 1-0. Duke still the betting favorite at DraftKings at minus 166 before they've come up to the plate. It's worth noting they were around minus 240 or so at DK before this game got underway. The total is now at 17.5, Matt, juiced over at minus 130. So similar to what we talk about from the NBA standpoint.
Long way to go.
Long way to go. At least based off of the total in this one, Murray State and Duke the winner heads to Omaha, where, of course, we, the network, VSiN, will be coming up on Thursday. We'll have live shows from Rocco's, and will they be drinking Blue Devil Blue shots, Jello shots, or will they be drinking some sort of yellow Jello shots for the Murray State Racers? All right, we'll keep our eyes on that. We got baseball games on the major league level to discuss, as, of course, our game of the night, the NHL Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's Matt Eubanks. I'm Tim Murray. We're up and running. It is VSiN Primetime on a Monday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Murray State, Matt Eubanks, trying to become just the fourth four seed to ever reach the College World Series in Omaha. Since the format changed in 1999, we've only seen three teams previously as a four seed make the improbable run out of their regional, then out of their super regional to make it to Omaha. Oral Roberts did it in 2023, Stony Brook did it in 2012, and Fresno State in 2008 not only made it to the College World Series, they won the whole damn thing back in 2008. Murray State was the four seed in the Oxford region. They were able to take care of business there, and now 1-1 in this super regional in Durham. And Matt, they lead 2-0, bases loaded. That's the top of the first.
Tim, that's one of the things about college baseball. You can see these smaller programs, they're not the big brand name programs, make it to Omaha and have a shot to win the College World Series. Fresno State's won it. Cal State Fullerton won a bunch of times.
Coastal Carolina, about 10 years ago.
Coastal Carolina's back in Omaha. Right now, Murray State, bases loaded. Racers just had a strikeout on a 2-2 count. So bases loaded, two outs, 2-0 Murray State over Duke.
Yeah, right now, the seven teams in the College World Series, Louisville, who was the two seed out of the Nashville region. They were in the one seed Vanderbilt's region. They were eliminated. Oregon State won game three in Corvallis last night in a very high scoring affair. How about Arizona, Matt? Jensen Lewis, our colleague, was down in Chapel Hill. He watched an absolute blowout take place in game one. North Carolina won 18-2. And unfortunately for them, it's not soccer. There's no aggregate. And they were eliminated by the Wildcats. And Coastal Carolina knocked off Auburn. So Coastal Carolina, Arizona, Oregon State, Louisville would be in one region as they head to Omaha. UCLA, LSU and Arkansas, some heavy hitters on that side. And then the winner of this game here, Murray State and Duke.
I believe, two SEC teams?
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing each other?
Yep.
Is that right?
Arkansas and LSU will be playing each other right out of the chute.
It's not great if you bet the SEC to win the College World Series, if you bet that prop, right?
No, it's not great, but they are, I would imagine, going to Omaha. Those would be the two betting favorites. But they obviously are on the same side of the bracket. That's why I bet North Carolina to win the national championship, thought the draw was good. Well, yeah. Unfortunately for me, after an 18-2 win, they dropped the next two. And Arizona able to move on. It does look like Duke is going to get out with minimal damage. So after the top of the first down in Durham, Matt, 2-0 is the score, and Duke a -130 favorite. Total now up to 19.5 for this one.
Well, that inning could have been a lot worse for Duke. It was 2-0, bases loaded, one out, and Murray State could not push another run across. So, like you said, a long way to go in this game. Good start for the Racers, but they do not they cannot start making plans for Omaha quite yet because, like you said, this live total is insane. 19?
19 dude, and a half.
Are both teams out of pitching?
Well, I mean, yesterday the game was 19-9. Right. That was the final score. So, yes, how about that? We've had three outs in a baseball game, Matt. We've seen the favorite, who has yet to hit, move from 238 down to -130 at DraftKings, and the total moved from 16.5, which was the close at DraftKings, now to 19.5. So we will keep our eyes fixated on Murray State and Duke. Of course, the Canadian kid, Ian Cameron, going to help us break down the Stanley Cup game 3 of the Oilers-Panthers series. Right now, when you look at where we sit for that one, the Florida Panthers, a -140 favorite here at Circa, Matt. A couple other shops as high as 155 in favor of the Florida Panthers. Seems a bit rich, I would say.
Yeah, but I'm not that surprised just because Oilers, like you said, got some injuries they're dealing with. And Florida Panthers have been so good on their home ice. And Bobrovsky, like the numbers I pointed out with Bob, awesome. He's been almost unstoppable, or he stopped everything. Let's put it that way. When he's in goal at home, and you just feel like every line, the lines in this series, Tim, are always going to be slanted to the home team, and it's going to be in that 125 to 140 range. I think in game two, the reason I think game two opened -124 here at Circa for Edmonton was bet down. It actually flipped to Florida being the favorite. That's because you're betting the zigzag, basically, mm-hmm. the team off the loss, and the Panthers came back to win that in OT. But I do feel like Florida gets so much respect in the betting market, and it's deserved, that you're not going to see the Florida Panthers at less than 130 at home.
Yeah, you mentioned it. It closed -107 here at Circa, and a lot of spots closed as a pick. Never in doubt, by the way, if you had the Florida Panthers on Saturday night.
Just such a good all-around team, well-coached team. Brad Marchand's a badass. You know, you just got, I think you got, there's no doubt you got the best goalie in this series, right, with Bob. And you got the better defense. What do you have with Edmonton? You got the best two players in the world. Sometimes they look like Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. But that's what makes this series so great. And I think I like Florida tonight. I've got a series bet on the Oilers, but I did play Florida a little bit in tonight's game because I just have a bad feeling about the Oilers going into this one.
Yeah, curious about the total, Matt. We've seen two overs hit already. But when you watch these games, it's really hard to play an under with the firepower that you get from Edmonton's side and, you know, the questions that you have pointed out from a defensive side of things for the Oilers. Even though Connor McDavid did joke in the Western Conference Finals when they got those shutouts against Dallas, like, hey, I told you we could play defense. So we have yet to see
that.
Well,
they can play defense occasionally. Yeah. They can't play it consistently as well as the Panthers can, for sure. I've got the Panthers -135 tonight. So, Tim, that'll be fun to agonize during this game as we watch it play out. You know how much fun it is to live bet hockey and watch it for 2.5 hours?
You know, speaking of live betting, Matt, I was on the air yesterday morning, and right there on that screen, I had Yannick Sinner versus Carlos Alcaraz.
What a match.
I was watching it, and, you know, we sit here every night on VSiN Primetime. We take a look at the live odds, and, you know, in the NBA standpoint, we're, you know, watching it move back and forth. Watching the live betting market for a tennis match is amazing to look at. And after the second set, in which Yannick Sinner wins that tiebreak, he moved to a -2,000 favorite. And then, of course, we get to the fourth set, Matt, and he's got 3 championship points, and he was out to, I believe, what was it? You got the numbers right in front of you. Well, Carlos Alcaraz was what, 65-1?
That's correct. He was 65-1, and obviously the favorite was much, much higher price at that point. I think it was 40-0, right? Three match point?
Yeah.
Triple match point?
Three championship points, yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, he's on the brink of death and comes back at 65-1 odds. I would think the true odds are probably even greater than 65-1 at that point. You're down 40-0, and the next point, you're done. Carlos Alcaraz is one of the great comebacks from the brink in the history of tennis majors. I wonder how many people actually bet to 65-1 when he was down at that point, because
who would have thought he would come back? I mean, and then I'll give credit to Jannik Sinner in that fifth set when he thought it looked like he was out to pasture. He came back and forced the tiebreaker. What a match. 5.5 hours. Those two warriors going back and forth there. That was a hell of a match to watch.
You know, the tennis, the Grand Slam was incredible. And then how about the golf tournament yesterday? Wes Reynolds had a play on Sam Burns. Burns is in the clubhouse for like an hour and a half with the lead. And finally, Ryan Fox drains, what, a 17, 18-foot putt that just barely drops in to tie him, force a playoff. Looks like Burns is going to win it in the playoff.
Nope.
Misses a short putt, about a 10-footer. And then Ryan Fox ends up winning for the second time in about a month. His first two PGA Tour wins. I know Wes Reynolds and a lot of his loyal followers had Sam Burns at a number of about 30-1 in that tournament yesterday. And you think about that. If you bet a center in the tennis tournament, and then you had Sam Burns in the golf, you might never want to bet again. Oh. I don't know if you had how many people out there might have had them both, but that Sam Burns beat was a tough one to take for a lot of people I know yesterday, because Ryan Fox really played some great golf and Burns missed a putt he should have made. And that was a story in the comeback on the PGA. But you know, it was kind of an underrated sports weekend. I thought the UFC card was pretty good on Saturday night, but the tennis, the golf, some of the baseball games, and everything that went on over the weekend is pretty good. And now we got College World Series as well, and it's not starting off well for Murray State in the bottom of the first inning.
As we got a tweet from Mike Zills, who's a big Duke fan.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, this rivalry started back in 1997. First round matchup, Duke Murray State. Now, Duke fans don't want to remember 97 because they got God Sham God in the second round, and Providence beat them as a 10 seed. But yes, Duke snuck past Murray State, coached by Mark Gottfried back in 1997. So 2-0, Murray State up on Duke, bottom of the first, but already men on the corners for the Blue Devils, and they have yet to get out here in this opening.
Well, you can certainly see why the live total was up around 19.5. There's not much pitching happening in this game
tonight. Duke back out to a -220 favorite now, and they've yet to score a run. Hey, folks, if you want to bet smarter this football season, well, of course, we're going to tell you to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for just $199, and you also get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up. VSIN.com/subscribe. We're breaking down Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final with Ian Cameron next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday night, getting you ready for our game of the night, the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's Matt Newman's. I'm Tim Murray. You can always tweet the show. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. He's at Matt Newman's 247. Got some baseball going on across the majors as well as college baseball. 7 teams have already punched their ticket to Omaha. One more team to go, and that would be the winner of this Duke-Murray State game. 2-1, the Racers with a lead over the Blue Devils, bottom of the first inning, and right now the Duke Blue Devils still a -195 favorite. 19.5 is the total and juiced under -130. We're going to check in with Ian Cameron here, Matt, in just a moment, but a quick update from Major League Baseball. The Guardians have tied things up against the Cincinnati Reds. Guardians at home tonight, now a -179 favorite. Good one in Philadelphia, as we've got a series starting with the Cubs and Phillies. Fourth inning, Cubs with a 1-0 lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. But as mentioned, our game of the night, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, and Ian Cameron joins us courtesy of our progressive guest line at Bobano Bets, as we like to call him, the Canadian kid, loves to handicap the NHL, Matt. So let's jump into it, Ian. We've got the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. As we all know, what a series it has been so far. We'll start with a side here. Edmonton up to around a plus 125 or higher dog in this spot. And as we've seen, both these games have gone to overtime. Do you think there's some value to be had on the Oilers tonight down in Florida?
Yeah, I think when you look at this series, guys, I mean, it could be 2-0 Edmonton. It could be 2-0 Florida. As it sits right now, it's 1-1. I mean, both games could have gone either way. Both of them outstanding games, both of them going to overtime, both of them decided by one goal. It's a very close series. The margins are thin. I mean, I think both teams have taken turns carrying the play, you know, dominating in the offensive zone. There's been stretches of both games so far where Edmonton's done that, and there's been stretches of both games so far that Florida's done that. And it wouldn't shock me if we get this kind of series the rest of the way. I don't think Florida's going to march on and run away with it. And I don't think Edmonton's going to march on and run away with it. But the one thing I know about the Edmonton Oilers is they've been good off a loss. They've suddenly gotten much better on the road as far as the Stanley Cup playoffs have been concerned. They've closed out each of their last two series wins on the road. If you remember, they beat Vegas in a game five on the road in the second round. They beat Dallas and finished that series in the conference finals on the road. So this team can suddenly, after struggling early in the playoffs on the road, they can suddenly win on the road. They're 6-1 in their last seven road playoff games. I think there's some value in this road underdog here with the Edmonton Oilers. And I think the worst case scenario for Edmonton is they will split the two games here in Florida, much like the Panthers split the first two games in Edmonton. So my process is, if I lose with Edmonton tonight, I'll probably come right back to them in game four.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Oilers 6-1 on the road in their last seven road playoff games. And tonight in Florida, big dogs relative to what we're seeing in this series. Minus 140 or higher for the Florida Panthers at this point. Ian Cameron with us. Looking in on game three tonight in South Florida. I'm looking at your email right now as we speak. You've got 14 player props on tonight's game. Before we get to that, talk about how you're going to bet the game in terms of, I guess you got the first period over. You've got some other plays. You're playing the total over tonight. Talk about the plays you've got on the game before we jump into the player props.
Well, Matt, with the total, I was in for half a unit on all the overs in game one and in game two. Mm-hmm. Then tonight, we're talking 0.1 units. So that's a much smaller bet. And the reason for that is because there's a part of me that says until I see the pace slow down, until I stop seeing all the odd man rushes and breakaways and grade A scoring chances that we're seeing, until I see that, I feel compelled to still lean over the total. But I totally get why, you know, a lot of people I respect that bet NHL like the under tonight, that we're due for a lower scoring game, that shifting scenery from Edmonton to Florida. And based on what we saw in the first two games, the coaches will want things to be a little bit tighter checking, better defensively. Just don't be a little bit more conservative with the puck. That could happen tonight. And overall in the playoffs, especially for Florida, we've seen their games actually be higher scoring on the road and lower scoring at home. That's kind of been the pattern. And even with the Edmonton Oilers, they've kind of been okay with winning lower scoring games on the road as opposed to maybe opening things up a bit more at home. So the people that like the under, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I just like to see evidence of this series slowing down before I jump in with that sentiment.
You know, Ian, I was talking earlier about the numbers, Sergei Bobrovsky's numbers, the Florida Panthers goalie, much better at home than they have been on the road. Also, Ryan Nugent Hopkins banged up tonight. Do you know if he's going to play? And do you have injury concerns on the Edmonton side?
Well, we're going to know in a few minutes because the pregame skate's just about to happen. And if he doesn't go, Jeff Skinner will take his spot. And he's a guy that's been around the league a long time, been a capable scorer in the past. And actually, the last time we saw him in the lineup for Edmonton, he was pretty solid. He came in and contributed. He scored in one of the games he was in the lineup earlier in the postseason for Edmonton. So it's obviously a big loss if they don't have Nugent Hopkins. And they're already missing Zach Hyman, of course, is out for the rest of the season and the playoffs. But they're the kind of team that it's been a next man up mentality, and they're just so focused on winning this cup and avenging the loss to Florida last year that it seems like you can't throw any obstacle in front of Edmonton. They're just going to keep battling. So yes, it would be a loss if Ryan Nugent Hopkins doesn't play, but certainly I think for one game they've shown in the past they can overcome it.
Ian Cameron once again helping us break down game three of the Stanley Cup final tonight. You know, Ian, we've seen it go overtime games one and two. Do we play it again? Do we expect another draw after 60 minutes?
It wouldn't shock me if it is. I mean, it's been that close of a series. It's just, it feels like, you know, is every single game going to go to overtime? There's part of me that has a hard time believing that. I think in one of these games, you're going to see maybe, you know, one team gain some separation, or are we just going to be in that back and forth, and it's going to be a one goal decision every time for the entire series? I can't see it going that way, but how am I going to tell someone, yeah, no, don't take plus 340 on a draw after it's cashed in two straight games? So I wouldn't dock anyone out of taking the draw. There are actually a few props that I like in this game, and especially if you like point props. Now, the way you can do this is two ways. You could take someone to get a point, or you could split it up on a player to get a goal and an assist, which is basically the same thing. And with some of those goal props, you can get plus 300 or better. So you'd get a little more bang for your buck if you go the point and assist betting route, not just the point betting route, because you get a little bit of a better payout if that player ends up producing. And there's a few that I'm interested in. I'll throw two for Florida. Sam Bennett, he's been outstanding. He's gotten a point in every game in this series, a goal in every game in this series. So whether it's him to register a point, or if you prefer to split it between Sam Bennett goal, Sam Bennett assist, which is the same thing as betting him to get a point, I definitely co-sign that. Evan Rodriguez for Florida. He's been noticeable. He's been getting chances. He's been a good playmaker in this postseason. And I think going back to last year's playoffs, he's done more damage at home offensively. So I think it could be an Evan Rodriguez night for the Florida Panthers. So again, you could take his point prop, which is in that plus money range, or you could go for the bigger payout and split it between goal and an assist on Evan Rodriguez. And then I got to go with the man who is defying his age right now for Edmonton, Corey Perry, or as I'm calling him right now, Scorey Perry, because he has been scoring goals here for the Edmonton Oilers. He has been playing terrific hockey, you know, turning back the clock essentially. And you can get him at near even money to get a point, or you could go goal and an assist with Corey Perry split as well. And the goal prop is as high as plus 325. And don't forget, guys, Corey Perry tied the game late in the third period in game two. So very, very much a big contributor. And you get great value with Perry because he plays on the top line with McDavid. And I don't think odds makers have adjusted that price enough on him as a result.
I'm looking through your list of 14 player props tonight. You don't have anything on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, some of the Matthew Tkachuk you do have to score a goal, Evander Kane. I know you're doing an Ice Guys podcast, similar to what Tim and I do here, talking about the live betting aspect of this game tonight. What are you looking for in live betting in tonight's game? And have you been playing this the first two games? When one team takes a lead, are you looking to take a plus price with the dog?
In certain instances, Matt, yes, depending on the flow, and especially if they have momentum and they have a good couple of shifts in the offensive zone and you're seeing them get chances. A great live betting angle I love is when a team is down in a game, or they get, or it doesn't matter if they're down or up, but they get a big penalty kill and a team gets a huge lift and momentum from a big penalty kill. And oftentimes what I'll look for is them to score the next goal after a penalty kill. It's a really good live market to look into. We do a bunch of live betcasts for the Ice Guys show, including one tonight. And it's definitely something that's a staple of live betting, and even more so in the playoffs when there's so much ebb and flow and so many momentum swings, sometimes three or four momentum swings just in one game.
Ian, appreciate it as always, man. Best of luck with the bets tonight. Enjoy the game.
Let's hope it's as good as the first two games, guys. Have a great night.
That would be nice. There he is, Ian Cameron, the Canadian kid, helping us break down game three of the Stanley Cup final. Here's what we'll do, Matt. He's got so many plays. Let's revisit them. Let the people know what Ian's got on his card, as well as take a look back at game two of the NBA Finals last night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight. Hopefully, as Ian Cameron said, it's as entertaining as we saw in games one and two north of the border. Edmonton winning game one in overtime. Florida getting back in game two in overtime. Brad Marchand scoring the game winner in game two.
He's tough, man. I'll tell you, it's a tough act to follow, too, because those first two games about as good as it gets. When you're talking about Stanley Cup final and you got games going to overtime, sudden death, it doesn't get much better than that. A lot to live up to tonight.
Yeah.
What's happened the first two games in this series, but it certainly looks like it's headed to seven. I'm not quite as optimistic about the Oilers as I was before the series started.
Yeah, I played a little minus 120 on the Oilers series price. And right now you can get them at, I think, even money. Actually, you can get them at plus money here at Circa. Yeah. So there has been a movement there with Florida taking game two against the Oilers. And, you know, it's funny. We talk so much on this show, Matt, about in-game betting. Think about the opportunity you had heading into Friday night. There was a pretty juicy plus price on Florida to win this series. And if Florida wins tonight, there's a juicy price there to be had on Edmonton. So, you know, talking to a lot of folks out there who anticipate this to go seven, you talked to Banksy about it. You know, there are series prices to be had. Let's get a quick update from Durham, North Carolina. Deep fly to right field, but warning track power. We head to the third, Matt. 2-1. The Murray State Racers trying to become just the fourth seed ever to reach the College World Series. Michael Mish on Twitter says, love the college baseball chat. We're all pulling for the Racers. Glad VEASAN will be in Omaha for 3 days. And then
Just missed a three-run homer there. That's what we were looking at, was the lefty pulled it to right field. It looked like the way he posed after he hit it, I thought it was going to be a homer. It comes up just short on the warning track. So the Tim Murray Racers escape trouble right there and hold on to a 2-1 lead.
We're hanging in there. The Racers trying to make it happen. Right now, live line, Duke still the favorite at minus $1.66. And Matt, I don't know if you had taken under 19.5, if you'd still be feeling okay. But I will note that the live number has moved to 16.5, which was right around where we closed from a pre-flop standpoint. So Murray State and Duke headed to the third inning there. Winner take all situation as Duke and Murray State there for the final spot in the College World Series in Omaha. Our guy, Ian Cameron, he loves to fire. And let's take a look, Matt, at his bets once again. He sends out his email, and you and I both get that email. He likes Edmonton tonight, a half-unit play on Edmonton on the money line. He put a little play on it to be a draw at around north of $3. And then it was interesting to note this, Matt. He did play first period over, as well as full game over. However, he told us very small unit play for him on those particular ones because he had mentioned that some respected folks out there did like the under tonight.
Yeah, if you look at his plays here, these are not all full one unit plays. Some are half unit or a lot less than that. But again, he's got a bunch of player props tonight to read through them. Sam Bennett to score a goal at 2-1. Sam Bennett assists plus 175. Sam Reinhart goal plus 200. Matthew Tkachuk goal plus 210. Evan Rodriguez goal plus 425. Rodriguez assists plus 180. Carter Verhaeghe goal plus 230. Evander Kane goal plus 350. Corey Perry goal plus 325. Perry assists plus 230. Kasperi Kapanen goal at plus 550. Connor Brown goal 8-1. Adam Henry, goal, 7-1 odds. Evan Bouchard, goal, plus 450. I believe that is 14 player props for Ian Cameron on tonight's game. Some of those like 1/10 of a unit or, you know, a quarter of a unit. But again, he's got 14 props there.
No one can ever say the Canadian kid does not put out a number of plays because he certainly does. Once again, Duke and Murray State, keeping our eyes on this top of the third right now in Durham. We had three runs in the first inning, and since then, no more scoring, even though Duke just flew out deep to right field. Still to come tonight, Matt, in Major League Baseball, a great series. I always love when the Dodgers and Padres play in San Diego, and that's what we're getting tonight. The Dodgers, a minus $1.25 road favorite as Dustin May I feel like every time we're on the air, Dustin May is starting. My ginger brother gets the start for the Dodgers, and Nick Pivetta goes for the San Diego Padres. Padres going to Milwaukee, taking 2 of 3 yesterday. A 1-0 win, the lone run coming courtesy of a Manny Machado solo shot. And the Padres, a home dog tonight, total sitting at 8, 8.5, depending on where you look. That should be a fun one late night there, San Diego and the Dodgers.
I like the Padres a little bit in this game tonight. I got a small bet on the dog. Nick Pivetta, I think, has a pitching edge here against Dustin May. Even though I like to bet May sometimes at home, I look to fade him in some spots on the road. And the Dodgers offense really struggling over the weekend in that series in St. Louis. Dodgers really don't have a clicking right now. Nick Pivetta, been a good pickup for the Padres. 12 starts. He's 6-2. He's got a whip of 1.02, ERA of 3.16, and 10 strikeouts per 9. I like Pivetta tonight at the price. Padres, small home dogs. I think that's the right side. Anyway, it's kind of like a half unit bet for me tonight, but I did play the Padres.
Yeah, that first pitch is going to be later tonight, 9:40 Eastern time. We will see that game at tip off. We do have a game in the WNBA. Guess who's going to help us break that one down? Doug Kazarian will join us in the third hour of the show, 9:15 Eastern. We'll talk to Doug about the NBA as well as the lone game on the WNBA card tonight. But speaking of what we saw last night, we're going to, you know, as the show goes on, Matt, especially as the game gets underway in Florida, we're going to continue to get some thoughts of the NBA Finals. Last night, 123-107 win for the Oklahoma City Thunder. My bet on that game was the first half. I know it was priced extremely high, but I thought if you looked at what the Thunder had done coming off of losses, they're now 5-0 this postseason, Matt. In the first half, off of a loss, they're also 5-0 straight up, 3-2 against the spread. But, you know, as we look forward to game three, as it heads to Indianapolis on Wednesday night, there was this video making its rounds, and it might have just been, hey, post game, you're a little bit nicked up, maybe nothing to look at. It's not like Tyrese Halliburton's not going to play, but Matt, as we're going to show this video to our viewers on YouTube TV and across, a little gimpy walking off the press conference podium there. So maybe something to keep an eye on there moving forward. Obviously, I'm sure Tyrese Halliburton will be just fine playing in game three, but worth noting, a little sore coming off of the media chatter yesterday.
Well, hey, I know how he feels. I'm sore every time I get off the couch. I have to limp for a few steps. And once you get older, Tim, that happens. But I would say that Halliburton's got 2 days, or basically 2.5 days off before the next game. I think he's going to be fine. The thing about Tyrese Halliburton, he's just got to bring the mentality. He's got to, I think, go for the jugular a little bit more. Last night, you're watching game two, and Halliburton hits the winning shot in game one. He's got a tendency to fade in the next game after he has a fantastic previous game. He does this way too often. Last night, he finished with 17 points, but Tim, you're watching the game, and it's, 59-41 at halftime. You're like, where is Tyrese Halliburton?
Yep.
Kind of a ghost in the first half last night. His numbers ended up okay, 17 points, 6 assists.
Under his player prop, though, for assists, right, back-to-back games.
He did hit 3 threes, but again, the Pacers did a lot of scoring after you felt like the game was over last night.
You felt like a backdoor cover could happen. Ultimately, it didn't, but, right. You know. Ultimately, it didn't.
They just weren't locked in like they were in game one, especially in the comeback in the second half. I thought the Pacers let the game get away kind of at the end of the first quarter last night. Had a really poor final 2 minutes in the first quarter. Then the Thunder started to pull away before the half, and I just didn't see the Pacers playing with a great sense of urgency. And obviously, that's why a lot of times in NBA playoffs, you're betting on a team off a loss or betting against a team off a road win, because what did the Pacers do? They went to OKC to get a game. Yep. They accomplished their mission in the first game. You say, well, you know, they went to Cleveland and got two. They went to New York and beat the Knicks in two on the road. Well, they did not go to OKC and beat the Thunder in two. This kind of felt to me like they were a little bit asleep at the wheel in the first half of that game last night. Down 18, too much of a deficit to overcome against a team like the Thunder.
It gets said all the time, probably overused, but you can't fake desperation, and they were desperate last night. SGA said it when he went on with Scott Van Pelt after the game. You know, they had to win that game. They knew they had to win it, and They were up 18 at the break and ultimately cruised to a victory. And you never could get too comfortable with that, Matt. That's why, even though I knew it was taxed, I'd rather lay the first half than the full game, because the cardiac kids, the cockroaches, however you want to define them, those Pacers just never go away. A little bit of a bad beat, though, if you had the under last night. That was some late scoring there, 123-107. There was some dude.
67 points in the third quarter, 63 points in the fourth.
Hey, folks, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, people like us, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet. The promo code is PRIME, edgeboost.bet.